We talked about Joab and Abner last week. They were in family, weren't they? Joab's what?
Nephew
of David. All right. And Abner is also what? He's in the family of Saul. So Mephibosheth, the guy that he was, or Ishbosheth, that is, the guy that he was representing as the king of Israel, that he concedes and he comes over to David's side, and Joab doesn't like it because what did Joab do to his brother, which is David's nephew also? He killed him. He run a spear through him from the butt end of it, through his whole body. I mean, he took not the sharp point, but the other end. I mean, he was a strong guy, that Joab was, and ran that thing completely through his body and killed him. But he did ask him, he said, now, this is going to cause trouble and bad blood between our family. Just go off and leave me alone. Just get away from here. And he asked him that several times, and he wouldn't do it, so he and killed him. All right. So now, we're about to have Abner's funeral. All right. Now, you have to remember, right? Remember this. Now, here we go. Here we have Saul, the king over all of Israel. Okay? And Israel asked for him. What does his name mean? What does Saul's name mean? Ask for. All right? They asked for him. Now, did God have a king plan for Israel? Always. Back in the book of Genesis, we find out that Israel was supposed to have a king. And David would have been the king that was supposed to be on the throne. But they asked for Saul first. David wasn't old enough to be king yet. And so they asked for Saul. Yes, Bill.
Okay, I got a question that goes along with this, Jim. Can I ask that?
Yeah, well, let's see how far it goes away. So.
Well, David wouldn't have Saul because Saul was his anointed.
Yes.
My reading and interpretation of this is when a preacher is ordained, you don't touch the preacher, you don't badmouth him. If you don't like the way things are going in church, you leave. But you do not badmouth the preacher because then you're touching your anointed, the anointed. You can't. You're not. That, now, my way of reading this is, if you disagree with a preacher, that's fine. If it gets to the point where you got to leave. But don't stay around and cause problems because you're touching the Lord's anointing.
Sometimes that is. But, you know, real Baptist churches have always been democracies. Mm-hmm. And Baptist churches make their own decisions. They call their own preachers, and they make all their own. You know, we have business meetings and stuff like that. If the preacher gets out of line, you can call him on the carpet.
Yeah.
You can do that, and there's nothing wrong with that, but to go out and just assassinate his character, you better not do that.
Yeah, you
okay? Know. Now, that's different, okay? You better not, all right? If he gets out of line, there are loopholes where you can deal with him, all right? You can vacate the pulpit if you have to and start over again. But
even if he's a bad preacher, you still can't go out there and assassinate his character and do
no,
things.
No,
because you're touching the Lord's anointing.
Yes, yeah. That's a whole lot like that, like it was. Now, David knew that Saul was anointed king over Israel. And even though David tried to kill him, how many times? We've been through all this. Now, we're going to speed up here in a little bit. We're going to go through this Old Testament at a lot higher speed of rate than what we are right now. But these are foundations in the Bible. If you don't understand this, you don't have it. Okay? So that's why we're taking time to do this. All right, Saul was, Israel asked for Saul. They asked for it. Okay, and they got it. Saul was really a humble man in the beginning. You know, he hid among the garbage out there, the stuff and whatever, and he wouldn't even come out, and he was really tall and handsome. And in the beginning, he was a good guy. But then he got very proud. He went beyond his rules of authority. He wanted to be a priest, too. He wanted to be prophet, priest, and king, like Melchizedek was. All right? In the Bible, we have Melchizedek was prophet, priest, and king. Okay? That's it in the Old Testament, okay? Then, in the New Testament, we have Jesus that's prophet, priest, and king. Don't we? And then, in the eternal age, who is going to be prophet, priest, and king? Yeah. With his bride. All right, with his bride. Okay? Now, let's go back here. Let's find out what happened. The kingdom split. So we have Ishbosheth over here, Saul's son, and then we have David over Judah. Okay? And then over all of Israel, we have Ishbosheth and Abner. We're going to call him Ish and Abner. Remember what Ish means? I mean Ishbosheth. Remember what that meant? Huh? Ishbosheth. Remember what Ishbosheth meant? Isha means woman, but Ish is man. It means man of shame. That's what his name was. Now, I want you to see what Saul named these kids and see what kind of a person he was. Okay? He named one of his kids Man of Shame. And we're going to find out what Mephibosheth's name was there in just a little bit. Yes, Bill.
Abner died with his dad and all of his kids because they couldn't leave anybody that was, even though he was on David's side, they couldn't leave anybody that could be heir to the throne, right?
No. Wait a minute. David was going to respect this. He was still going to respect Ishbosheth. All right? We're going to find out what happened to Ishbosheth. David still respected this Saul's descendants over here. As a matter of fact, what did David do? Who was Jonathan? Jonathan knew that one of the days that David would be king because Samuel already anointed David as king when he was a child, didn't he? He anointed him as king because he was going to be the king. Isn't that a good name, David? All right? David? Yeah, there you are. On one side there. That's a good name. Beloved. Okay? They knew that David was going to be king. Okay? And so he told David, he said, promise me, David, Jonathan did. He said, if there's one of my children left, don't kill him. Because usually the new king kills all of the descendants of that person so they won't be a challenge or a threat to him. Okay? Now, even though David wasn't trying to split the kingdom or anything here, now where was his palace, basically? Where was his throne? Hebron. All right, and that's where Abraham is buried.
Yeah.
Hebron is in, that's where the cave of Machpelah is.
Abraham was there because they were fighting.
Okay, and that was basically the capital of Judah at that time. Okay, now where was the capital of Ishbosheth? It's up near Jerusalem, wasn't it? All right, now let's go back and find out what's going on so you can put all this stuff together. Now, here we have Abner up here, and we have Joab as what we call the executive officers of the army. Okay? And so Abner, he concedes to David, and he goes and meets with David and said, I'm behind you. Let's unite all of Israel. Okay? Now, Joab murders Abner. Now, David made a covenant with Abner. He made a covenant with Abner. And David was a man of his word, wasn't he? Most of the time, when David said something, he was an honorable person. We see that. In history, we see people that are honorable. They keep their word. And their word means it's their life. Okay? Now, that's the way David was. So, in the third chapter of 2 Samuel, verses 26 through 30, we find that Joab murders Abner. Now in verse number 31, and David said to Joab and to all the people, the third chapter of 2 Samuel, that were with him, tear your clothes and gird sackcloth and lament for Abner. In other words, I want you to know this, that I was not behind killing Abner. He had made a covenant with Abner. Okay? And King David walked behind their bier. What is a bier? Slits or hams? What is a bier? What is a bier? Anybody know what a bier is? That's a coffin. All right? Hearse. Okay? So to speak. Thus they buried Abner in Hebron. In Hebron. Okay. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave. The menemion, all right, or the quiver. Now, this is not a Sheol, Bill. This is a quiver. This is a cutout grave. All right? All the people wept with him. And the king chanted a lament for Abner and said, "Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put in fetters. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen." One falls before the what?
Wicked.
All right. As one falls before the wicked. And all the people wept over him, and then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while he was still day, and David vowed not to eat anything, okay? And that if I taste bread or anything else before the sun goes down, all the people took note. Now, you circle that one right there in verse number 36, because that's very important. That's what all of this whole chapter is about, okay? This is the ending of the chapter, the most important. This is the key verse of it. Now, all the people took note of it, and it pleased them just as everything that the king did and pleased all the people. So all the people and all Israel understood. Here's another one to note. Put a star out beside it. And all Israel understood that that day it had not been the will of the king to put Abner the son of Ner to death. That was not David's idea. He was going to keep his word. Then the king said to his servants, Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen, and this day in Israel? All right? Now, we're going to see what kind of character that David has. His character was totally opposite of what Saul's was. Saul, if Saul felt threatened, what did he do? He killed somebody. He killed a lot of people. He killed priests. Saul killed priests. If they thought they lined up with David, he'd kill them. And he did. Remember when the priest gave David the showbread and Goliath's sword that he had taken from Goliath and cut Goliath's head off? He gave that, and then what did Saul do to him? Killed a whole bunch of them. Now, when Saul felt threatened, he killed somebody. David was gracious. In some ways, David is the type of Christ. Remember? David's the type of Christ. We're going to see that on and on through here. And I am weak today, though anointed king. In other words, the king of all of this land is going to mourn for this simple man. Okay? These men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too difficult for me. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to his evil. And we find out later on that David did leave in his will to have Joab done away with. And Joab was who? What was Joab to David?
Who's his executive?
Right-hand man.
That was his right-hand man in the army, but what else?
Oh, he was a cousin?
He was his nephew. His
nephew.
Sometimes, have you ever had bad nephews and bad nieces? That's just the way it is, you know. And he was an obstacle to Israel's future, so David says, cut his throat. And right here, he makes the vow to do it. Right here, later on, you just remember that. All right. Now let's look here in chapter number 4. Now this is very important. Here is the king of Israel now. Kathy, are you at 4 and 1?
Yes. I have a different Bible and also I haven't seen his name.
Ish-bosheth.
Ish-bosheth felt like giving up after he heard that Abner had died in Hebron. Everyone in Israel was terrified.
All right. He was lost courage. He was scared to death. He was trembling all over. Here's Ish-bosheth. All right. Brother David, where is David? David's gone. This David. All right. Number 2.
Now Saul's son had two men who were captains of troops. The name of one was
Baana.
Baana. And the name of the other, Rishon. The sons of Ramon and
Berathite.
Of the children of Benjamin. For Bera also was part of Benjamin.
Okay. All right. Now, Brother Bill, do you want to read the next one, number 3?
Because the Berathites fled to Gittim and have been sojourners there until this day.
All right. Joanne.
Hophni and Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth, who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when Saul and Jonathan were killed at the Battle of Jezreel. When the news of the battle reached the capital, the child's nurse grabbed him and fled. But she fell and dropped him as she was running, and he became crippled as a result.
All right. That really explains that very well. All right. And the sons of Rimmon and Beherib and Rechab and Baanah departed and came to the house of Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth means what?
Man
of shame. Now, Mephibosheth, let's look at that. We've got man in there too. All right. This one here means hero of Baal. Now, this is David's son. This is what he named, hero of Baal. Or Baal protects him, or utterance of Baal. That's what his name means, Mephibosheth. So now, what kind of a guy do you think Saul was? At one time, he was contaminated, wasn't he? With idolatry. All right, or else his wives, one or the other. All right, Ishbosheth, in the heat of the day, was taking a midday rest. He's taking a nap in the heat of the day, around noon or 1, 2, 3 o'clock. He's taking a nap. Brother Brett, and they have you got your Bible out there? Have you? Okay, Brother John.
What number? Are you?
Number 6.
And they came there all the way into the house as though to get wheat, and they stabbed him in the stomach. Then Rechab and Baanah, his brother, escaped. For when they came into the house, he was lying on his bed in his bedroom. Then they struck him and killed him, beheaded him and took his head, and were all night escaping through the plain. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron, and said to the king, "Here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life, and the Lord has avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and his descendants."
All right, boy, now they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron. And now I tell you what, this sounds really gruesome and terrible, doesn't it? Huh? Kill a guy, cut his head. He's taking a nap on his couch. You go in there and you kill him, and you cut his head off. This sounds like some mass murderers or something, doesn't it? Like Charles Manson and his bunch. Okay. Number 9. Linda. Okay.
Baanah, his brother, the sons of
Rimmon,
and
the Berethite,
and said to them, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all adversaries?"
Okay, now he said, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all adversaries? No matter what they tried to do to me, the Lord protected me." You know, when you're going through these battles and stuff in life, and you're right in the midst of them, you don't realize at that time, I mean, you're dodging bullets, so to speak, and the guillotine and whatever else, you know, I mean, bad, horrible things are happening to you. And you don't realize it, but God's in control. Now, don't, just because God's in control, don't fail to duck. I'm telling you, do duck. Don't let them stick your head in the guillotine, okay? Duck. Now and then. But the Lord is control. Until the Lord is finished with you, you are going to be here. Okay? But we just don't know when it happens. Now, David said, "The Lord's been taking care of me all the time." And boy, I mean, David went through some terrible trials, didn't he? With Saul, especially. And even with his own children. His children tried to kill him. Everything. I mean, this guy had a lot of troubles. All right? Number 10 now. Are you over there, Dennis? Number 10? Yeah.
When someone told me, saying, "Look, Saul is dead," thinking to have brought good news, I arrested him and had him executed in Ziklag. The one who thought I would give him a reward for his injury.
All right. Some people think that they can just take justice in their hands and thrash people. There was a guy in Arizona at one time. His name was Zuck. All right, Zuck. Z-U-C-K. Zuck was his name. And that's on Charles Gate. Would any of you ever see the movie Geronimo? with Charles Gatewood. He was that Lieutenant Gatewood in there. He was a straight shooter, Gatewood was. He was a good guy, okay, all the time. You know who I'm talking about? Yeah, he's a real guy. That's not make-believe, okay? And he was over there, and these Mormons got right up next to the Apache reservation over there. And Zuck and these guys, they made an agreement with these chiefs and these tribes there that they would go out there and cut hay on their land. And they would give them so many cattle and so much money for doing this. And they would pay them, and then they would split. They would pay them to let them come in and cut the hay, and then they would split the profits with the tribe. They'd give you half, and we get half. All right? And they were supposed to give them so many steers and so much money. Well, when the guy came in there, he was a big shot. Zuck was a big shot in politics. Okay? And he walks in there, and he takes all the hay, and he goes sells it to the guy, and he gets the money, and he profits from it. And he comes out there with an old sick steer that was just a raw bone steer, skinny steer, and a pair of washed out sackcloth pants, or like pair of Levi's, but they wore out. And he said, "Here's your pay." And Gatewood was there. He said, "What do you mean, here's their pay? They're starving. And you took all their hay. And you were supposed to split the profits with them. And you went and made all this money. And now you're going to say that you can come in here on reservation land and give them a broken down, sick steer and a pair of wore out pants and say that's full payment? Yeah, I'm in politics. I'm beyond touching. I'm untouchable. You see what you can do." And he said, "I'll arrest you. I'll arrest you." And he said, "You just arrest me." You know, like this. And he said, "You just arrest me." So he arrested him, put him in jail. Kept him in jail for 6 days and shipped him off the court. Well, the guy over there in the court was a Mormon that was going to try this case, and he was on the Mormon side. And so he turned him loose and indicted Lieutenant Gatewood for arresting this criminal. And meanwhile, they're about to have a war on the reservation because these white people had cheated them again. You know, they can't believe anything they say. And Gatewood went to a 2-year trial because he arrested that rat. But he finally got off. He finally got before a good judge. But the other guy got off scot-free because he was a big shot. So this guy over here, he thinks he's doing the same thing that this Zuck did over there. All right? He's untouchable now. He comes and said, "Look what I did for you. Look what I've done. How much more than the wicked man killed righteous man in his own house?" In verse number 11, "In his own bed? Shall I now require his blood from your hand and destroy you from the earth?" All right. Number 12, Kathy.
"Then David said to his troops, 'Kill these two brothers, cut off their hands and feet, and hang their bodies by the pool in Hebron.'"
Oh,
"I bury Ish-bosheth's head in Abner's tomb near Hebron, and they did."
All right. Now, he took care of this again. What kind of a person is David again? Now, he's honorable. Don't come in there. Don't sneak in the back door and do something wrong and blame it on me. Because, again, Ishbosheth's death would have been blamed on who?
David.
So he publicly killed these people. Not only did he publicly kill them, execute them, but he cut off their hands and their feet. Wherever you walk and whatever you do, you're going to be responsible for to the king. Don't go out and do something without my authority. Okay? All right, now in verse number 5, here we have the key to this one. Now we're going to have David now. He's going to be over the whole, all over all Israel now. Israel and Judah are together. All right? Israel and Judah. All right? Now Israel and Judah become one nation again. Let's see what happens here now. This is very important. Joanne, 5:1.
"Then all the tribes of Israel rested David at Hebron and told him, 'We are all members of your family.
All right, we're all members of your family. We're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. We're all the nation of Israel is related again. They're not split up. We're not divorced. We're not split out and divided. We're all one flesh. Previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and in. This is very important now. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people, Israel. And you will be ruler over Israel. Now, did God plainly show this? Was there any doubt that God had picked David to be the king over all of Israel? Okay. And then we're going to see again what kind of a man he is. Brother John.
Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years.
Okay, now Israel is going to be looked at as one unit. Israel and Judah are one. Okay?
That's the north and the south, then?
That's it. The north and the south. You know, the Yankees and the real people. Are all one. All right, the Yankees and the real people are all one now. Yeah. They're one unit now. All right. He reigned 40 years, and now Brother Floyd there. Number five.
At Hebron, he reigned over Judea 7 years, 6 months. And at Jerusalem, he reigned over Israel and Judea 33 years.
All right. And now the king and his men went out to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, inhabitants of the land. And they said to David, you shall not come in here, and the blind and lame shall turn you away, thinking David cannot enter here. All right, now what's they're playing games with David. These are the Jebusites. Now, where did the Jebusites live? Anybody know?
Canaan?
No. Well, kind of.
A little under?
No. Where did the Jebusites live? Does anybody know? Anybody know? Where? Say that real loud, Kathy.
Jerusalem,
but it wasn't known as Jerusalem then. It was called Jebush. Jerusalem's name was Jebush because of the Jebusites. All right, write that down someplace if you want to. Jerusalem was Jebush from the Jebusites, okay?
Why don't you run that place back then?
What?
Isn't it a bush around the place back then?
Yeah.
Jebush.
Yeah, Jebush. All right. The Jebusites. These were rascals. All right. And so David lived in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around Milo and inward. All right? Milo and inward. Milo was the citadel of David. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord God of hosts was with him. What is that Lord God of hosts? Jehovah Elohim Sabaoth. That's what it is in Hebrew. Jehovah Elohim Sabaoth. Sabaoth means the Lord of armies. Who is known of as the Lord of armies in the New Testament? The book of James names him Jehovah Sabaoth. He uses that term. The Lord of armies. Who is the Lord of armies? Always. Jesus. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. Jesus. Jehovah means he who shall become. Did Jesus come into flesh? And did God become flesh and walk among us? John 1:14, okay? And he is the Lord of all armies, isn't he? He's the Lord of all armies. The Lord God, Jehovah Elohim of hosts, was with him. And then number 11. And Hiram the king of Car sent messages to David with cedar trees and carpenters and stonemasons, and they built a house for David. Now, here we have Hiram. He's going to be David's friend, and he's going to build a house for David. Okay? These cedars of Lebanon, remember that. The cedars of Lebanon. All right? And Tyre. And David realized the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. Who's Israel? Who is Israel now? The sake of his people Israel. Who is Israel? Remember all of these little clues here. Israel is Jacob. Jacob is Abraham's descendant. We have Abraham, we have Isaac, and we have Jacob. All right? You know, we talked the other day, and we saw when we talked about Remember what happened when Isaac, who was Isaac going to bless? Instead of Jacob, he was going to bless who?
Esau.
Was Esau supposed to be the heir? He was the firstborn, but he had given his... He hated, the Bible says he hated his heirship or his birthright. He hated his birthright. But even with that, Isaac was still going to make him the head. And he was not worthy. He had already married those two rascal women that stunk. The Bible says stunk in Abraham and Sarah's, or Isaac and Rebekah's nostrils. All right? They stunk. But still, he was going to anoint him, and God had blinded Isaac. His blindness was no mistake. God blinded him because if he could have been able to see, he would have anointed Esau still. Jacob is the heir, and Jacob will be blessed. Today, who is Jacob? Who is Jacob today? All the descendants of Israel. All right. All right. Jacob is the heir. Now, when Jesus came on the scene, who was on the throne?
Herod,
which was a descendant of Esau. The devil got him on the throne, didn't he? Isn't that something, how the devil works over time? Meanwhile, in verse number 13, and David took more concubines. Now, this is when David starts making mistakes. This is it. Brother Bill, did you see this? I want you to read number 13. You're really on this subject a lot.
Yeah. Here's his downfall, folks.
Yeah.
Right here.
This is it. You got a chance now. Lay it on.
More concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he had come from Hebron. Also more sons and daughters were born to him.
All right. Now this is going to be his downfall. His children are going to be his downfall.
Yep.
All right. Children are supposed to be a blessing to you. All right. But now, according to the law, were kings supposed to multiply wives and concubines? No. But he had the political power to do it, didn't he? So he took his initiative. Now there are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem, and it names all of those down there. And verse number 17, and the Philistines heard that they had anointed king over Israel, and all the Philistines went up to seek out David, and David heard of it, and he went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines came and spread themselves on the valley of Rephaim. All right. Now David inquired of who?
The Lord.
He's still on the Lord's still on his side. He hasn't made any giant mistakes yet, but he just started causing himself trouble. And saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, what? Kathy, what did he say?
Attack, I will let you win.
All right, attack, I'll let you win. All right. So David came to Baal Perazim. All right. Baal Perazim. All right. Baal Perazim. And defeated them there. All right. Now, Baal Perazim means the master of breakthrough. The master of breakthrough. Baal Perazim. So he's going to break through. Baal was the master, according to them. He was their master. He was their lord. He was their Adonai in this area. Baal was. They were worshiping Baal. And so David came to Baal Perazim and defeated them there and said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters. And therefore he named the place Baal Perazim. And they abandoned their idols. Look at that. They abandoned their idols. These were idolaters. What does God think about idolatry? He doesn't like it. He's a kill all of them. All right. And so there David and his men carried them away. Number 22 now. And now the Philistines came up once again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord and said, you shall not go directly up, circle around behind them and come at them in the front of the balsam trees. Now, I want you to, we get to look into a different realm right now. Balsam trees. All right, these are balsam trees. Now we're going to look into a whole different realm. You know, they're different realms. They say that there's 10 what? 10 different dimensions. So we get to look into a different realm or a 10 or different dimensions.
Who says there's 10 dimensions?
That's what the scientists have figured out now. There's 10 dimensions. We live in a 10-dimensional world. We only know.
We only have two.
That's right. That's what we know.
We have three.
Uh-huh. But wait a minute now. Here's a dimension that the scientists don't know about. Okay, at this time. Let's look at it. Another dimension. One of the 10 dimensions now. Okay. What? Oh, you want me to hurry? Okay. Hurry. All right. And it shall be when you hear the sound of the marching to the tops of the balsam trees. You hear the sound of marching in the top of the trees. All right. Who's marching? Angels. All right. And you shall act promptly, for the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies. The Lord is behind every one of his battles, David's battles. David didn't win the battles. Did Joshua win the battles? Did Joshua win the battles? Who won out? I mean, the battle strategy when he went into Jericho, march around the city. When you get around, march around the city so many times, blow the horn and shout, and the walls are going to fall down. Well, who do you think made the walls fall down? Jehovah Sabaoth. Jesus was there. Okay? And David did so just as the Lord had commanded him, and struck the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. All right. Here we go. Did we get you there so far? All right. We got that. Who fought that war? Those invisible angels. But the angels live in a different
dimension.
So we get, every now and then, we get to look into a different dimension. Now, those dimensions are still here today. All right? I could explain to you some of those dimensions with my life and the things that I've been through. How many of you had a bomb explode in your hands before and come away almost untouched? I did. I had a gun explode in my hand, and I mean, how many of you have seen that gun? Some of you have seen that gun. You've seen that gun. I mean, that's dynamite, people. That's like a grenade going up in your hand. I'm talking about. I got little pieces of it all over my body still, just little pieces. And that finger there, my trigger finger and my guitar playing finger, almost got blown off. That was all. It did hit that little finger. It just looked like hamburger on the end of it. But I should have been dead. Half of the barrel cut to a 2x6 or 2x8 rafter and just cut it completely in two and ended up a half a mile away. The other one, the concussion blew a door off the hinges. And half of the barrel went through a wall. And the lock went someplace, and I ended up with just a piece of the trigger guard and the end of the stock in my hand. That was all. And I'll tell you what, there was a different dimension there protecting me, and I mean it was shields. The Lord shielded me from that. When that horse almost stomped me to death that time, that bronc, knocked me out. How many people live from a basal fracture? See, my ear was cut in two. That's not an earring that was stripped out in there. It was cut in two. Okay. Somebody, they look at that and they said, did you get an earring tug out of your ear one time? I said, no. I never had an earring. My ears ring, but I've never had an earring. When that horse reached around, he tried to throw me, and he'd fall over backwards and try to land on me, and he'd reach around and try to bite me, and he'd hit the ground, roll over, and I'd be in the middle of him before he could get up. Boy, he didn't like that. So he flipped back over again this time, except when he went around, he started coming at me with his mouth, and all I saw was his teeth. And he hit me right in the mouth right there and bit me in the face. But his teeth cut my ear in two, but it also gave me a basal fracture. My skull came apart. It was broken. The bottom of the skull where the spinal cord in was broken from the top. And he knocked me out. I was out. And then he went to work on me. He picked me up and bit me. He skinned my body. He took my skin and tore it loose from my whole body. It was just loose. He's shaking me like a dog shakes a rag and stomping me. This was a horse, a stud, a stallion, a bad stallion, you know, a killer horse. And my friend came out there and got the horse off of me, hauled me in the house, and this is what I preached a sermon one time, the day I visited hell. When I woke up, I was burning all over. I was blind and I couldn't hear. And I thought I was in hell. I was burning all over. And I felt my body. I was feeling around. You know, I didn't know who I was. I had no idea where I was. I couldn't see and I couldn't hear. Finally, my hearing started coming back, and I saw dimly this guy that I didn't know. This was my sister's boyfriend. And he said, Jimmy, are you okay? Because he thought I was dead. And I said, who's Jimmy? He said, you are. He said, that horse almost killed you. And I said, what horse? I still didn't know what was going on. And I walked in there in the bathroom and looked. I was all messed up. My ear was cut half in two. There was blood all over me and everything else. And I said, what happened? He said, a horse almost killed you. After the next day or two, then I finally figured out who I was and everything. But in the meanwhile, when I couldn't see and when I couldn't hear and I was burning all over, I thought I was in hell. I thought I was in hell. But you know what? That's healed. Now, I got beat up a little bit. But people don't live through things like that. They don't live through. I lost my hearing in my right ear. That's why I don't hear so well. It cut the optic nerve in half, but I'm alive. People ask me, how are you today? And I said, I'm still here. Still teaching a little bit. Now we're going next week. That was a different dimension. There are those dimensions there, people. You have guardian angels. You do. If somebody dies or gets killed or whatever, it's because God, you're to the end of your rope. You're the end of your race. That's why. Sometimes people die young. Whatever. But you're at the end of your race. That's the end of it. The Bible says in some ways that we can prolong our life and we can shorten our life by the things that we do, too. I sure would have been in a lot better shape if I didn't get in all those risky places. I would feel a whole lot better now than I did. Yes. All right. In the sixth chapter...
What did you do with that horse, Jim?
What did I do with that horse? I broke that horse. I broke that horse. I knew I either had to shoot that horse or break him. And this is hard stuff. This is like... I went and got a 24-inch, three-quarter drive breaking bar like this. I tied a leather thong on it and put that thing on the saddle horn. And after When I saddled that horse the next time, he was like a rainbow boy. He was ready for me. I had been down for 8 months. I couldn't hardly walk or anything. And I got on this horse, and he went out there, and he started bucking, and that was all right. He could buck all he wanted to. But when he started to rear over back with me, I took that thing off, and I went, dump, as hard as I could hit him. You know, in the slaughterhouses, they do that, and they fall down, and it kills them, you know, like hitting them with a sledgehammer. And he hit the ground, boy, with blood all over his head. And when he started to get by, I stayed on him like this. And when he started to get up, I went, thump, real lightly the next time. And never did he ever raise his head above the saddle horn ever again. He made a perfect horse. I gave him an external lobotomy. That was the end of it. I broke that horse.
That's strange, Jim, because usually when a horse will rear over backwards, they'll just shoot them. Once the horse rears over backwards, they won't
bring them. Yeah. That'll kill you. That's what you call sunfishing.
Yeah.
You know, and that'll kill. They mean to kill you. But this was a real high-bred quarter horse worth a lot of money. And I wanted to, if I could save him, I wanted to save him. But I tell you what, I had to get rough with him like he got rough with me. And it worked. And we got along fine after that. He was a puppy dog after that.
When they start sunfishing, every time they hit the ground, I'm telling you, it feels like your backbone is broken. It feels like your butt past your head. Because it's just like
they mean to kill you. They mean to kill you. That's what it is. That horse is trying to kill you. He would jump up in the air and fall on his back like this.
And
I'm on the back. Well, I would slip off the side and let him hit the ground, and I'd be on him before he got back up again. That's dangerous, you know. But I was quick back then. I wasn't a slow old man like I am today.
Yeah, you're just crazy like the rest of us.
Yeah, I was pretty dumb. But anyway, we're going to start back in the sixth chapter next week, and we're going to talk about moving the ark. Moving the ark, and we find out next week that David didn't quite follow things according to Hoyle, and somebody got killed.
Run,
okay.
Bro. It must have been that one guy. He wanted the wife.
All right. Brother David, are you ready? Thank you for your attention. I hope you learned something from God's Word today. And is it coming together? As we go along, I want to set a foundation about where Israel is and how all of that happened. People have a hard time understanding the dates and times and the frame, so that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, on our